We're in Proverbs today, and you started reading about midweek into the Proverbs that Solomon wrote. He's the author, and you remember he's described as being the wisest man to have ever lived. So we're going to take two verses out of chapter 3, and they're probably the two most quoted verses in all of Proverbs, probably the two best-known verses in Proverbs, and a lot of people choose these verses as their life verses, because you can pattern your whole walk with the Lord out of these two verses. It's all about following God's will for your life. It's all about pleasing Him, and that's what we're going to study today. All right, if you've been studying with us, we're in an era known as the Kings. The first king of the entire nation of Israel was Saul, then the mighty King David, then David's son Solomon took over. And so this is the era that we've been studying. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs says this. Let me read these two verses, then we're gonna take them apart in four different pieces, all right? Trust in the Lord, verse 5 says, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. All right, we want to dissect this into four different pieces, and it's going to be so practical, and I think it's something that you can easily adapt into your walk with the Lord. And this will transform your spiritual life. So here we go. Our first one, we're going to take verse 5 and cut it in half. So here's the first half. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, if you like to underline in your scriptures, there's a couple of phrases and a couple of words here that are real key that I would love for you to underline. That first word, trust, if you'd underline that, then that last phrase, with all your heart. Those are the two things we're going to talk about out of this first half. Trust is something that is both an action, but trust always has an object. All right, so it says, trust in the Lord. Trust is the actions that result from my faith. My faith in what? Well, it says that the object of trust is the Lord, Jehovah God, God Almighty. And so I'm commanded, I'm instructed to trust the Lord. Think about this with me. A lot of things this morning to consider. Everybody listening to me this morning, regardless of your age, where you are in life, your marriage, your kids, any of that, everybody trusts in either something or somebody. There is an object of trust in every one of our lives. You know, our children, their trust is in the parents. They're looking to the parents for stability. They're looking to the parents for security. They're looking to the parents for their well-being and their provisions. And even adults always trust somebody or something. You know who most adults trust? Sadly to say, it's ourselves. We trust in our ability. Maybe it's our knowledge. Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's our finances. But we trust in something always. This verse instructs us that the focus of our whole life, the basis of our trust, the foundation of our trust needs to be in the Lord. The Lord God Almighty. This is the word for Jehovah, the Creator. He's the ruler, the divine ruler over everything and every person all at the same time. And, you know, it's easy for us. It's real easy as a believer to trust God in the big things. You know, those are the things that we really don't have any control over. Those are the things that we couldn't manage if we had to. Like our salvation, for instance. You know what? We have to trust God for salvation because there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to merit or to inherit or to deserve salvation. So when you begin to deal with that, we are forced to trust God with that. But that's different than the day-to-day decisions and choices things that I have to make on a day-to-day basis, just as a believer, as a mom, as a dad. You know what? Those are the things that really define our spiritual walk and our spiritual life. We make very few huge decisions in our life. And a lot of times we like to confine God's will to what do we need to do in those huge decisions. But yet our lives are made up of hundreds, if not thousands, of small decisions that we make on a daily, on a multiple times a day basis. And so God's instructions to us is that our trust, our response to our faith, we've put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but the response to that is that we should totally commit our lives, we should totally rely completely on God for Him to direct, for Him to lead, for Him to guide our lives. He's got His perfect will laid out for us. And He wants to guide us every step of the way. Now, here's the thing. Until we get to know God personally and intimately, more, it's got to go beyond just the commitment and the surrender that we made to Him. Until we begin to learn His character and to learn His nature, we'll never trust Him like God wants us to. Why would you ever trust somebody that you really don't even know? And not only will you never trust Him, but you know what? You will always question, you'll always second guess anything that God asks of us, requires of us, or leads us, or directs us that's part of His will. We'll always second guess that. We'll always question whether that's the very best thing that we ought to do. All right, so here's the deal. If everything revolves around my knowledge and this intimate relationship with Him, well, where does that come from? Well, folks, I don't know how many times that we've gone over this just in our study this year, but it comes from time alone with God. I cannot tell you, I can't stress to you how important, how vital, how absolutely crucial that time alone with God is every day of your life. To get alone with Him, to read His Word. These are His words to you and to me. And to learn about Him and what He asks of us. To learn and learn His character and His nature. So that when we pattern our life after Him, we understand what He wants from us. But time alone with Him as we read His Word. God, teach me. God, show me. God, encourage me today. I'm a little down. I'm feeling defeated. God, I need You today to spend time not only alone in His Word, but spend time in prayer with Him. When we talk about prayer, most of the time people have this concept of me telling God what I want, what I need, and how I want Him to do that, as if I know best, better than Him. But you know what? The key in prayer is to just sit before God and to be still and to be quiet and to say, God, I need You to speak to me today. I need You to teach me today. I need Your correction. Lord, I'm sure there's things there in my life that You're not pleased with that You need for me to change. God, I need Your direction. Show me what it is You want me to do today. Show me who it is You've picked out for me to talk to today, maybe to share with today, maybe to encourage today. There's so much that I need to hear from Him, but most of the time, the sad part is I find myself doing all the talking. When God says, you know what, if you would just sit before me and listen, there's so much that I want to teach you. There's so much that I want to show you out of my word today. So that time alone with God is absolutely critical. We will never find God's will. We will never be able to live inside of that will, obeying that will, following that will. We'll never be able to please God until we get to the place where we've incorporated that time alone with God into our lives, and it's a vital part of each and every day. All right? So here's where we want to go with this. I don't have to understand God's will. And we never will. I don't have to understand the choices that He's going to ask me to make. I don't have to understand why He allows discouragement and defeat into my life. I don't have to understand the times that I'm going to go through that are very hurtful, from people to things, to situations, to circumstances. I don't have to understand the hardships that I'm going to endure, whether they're financial or health related or family or relationship. Maybe they involve my children, maybe my job. You know, I don't have to understand those. I don't have to understand the times when people that I love so very much, that I'm so close to, experience death, and I'm left to feel that loneliness and that pain of losing someone I was very close to. I don't have to understand times when people hurt me or hurt my family. Here's the thing. I don't have to understand why, but my response, trusting God, is to say, God, I understand that You're all-knowing and that You're all-powerful and that You're in control of all things. I understand that all You're asking me to do is to trust You, to follow You, and to obey You. Whether I understand it or not, whether it makes sense to me or not, I just need to be willing to say, God, whatever You ask, the answer's yes. You know, I'm sure Abraham didn't understand when God asked him to go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice his only son, that son that God had been promising him for years and years, that He was going to make a nation from his descendants. But you know what? Abraham didn't have to understand. He just had to obey. You think about Noah. When God asked Noah to build this incredible ship, this ark, Noah didn't have to understand what a flood was. He didn't have to understand what rain was. It had never rained. Matter of fact, where Noah lived, he wasn't near any body or water. And so why would he need a ship with all these animals on it? He didn't have to understand. All he had to do was say, God, I'm willing, and I will obey whatever it is that You ask me to do. You know what? I'll be honest with you. And I know this for a fact in my life, and I know it from working with so many other people over all these years. You know what? Trusting God isn't always easy. There's a lot of times that, man, it's really a struggle to trust God in the middle of hurt or defeat or discouragement. Man, it's hard to keep your chin up and to stay in His Word and to just stay faithful. God says you can always trust Me. You don't have to understand God's will. You just have to understand that God is trustworthy. And that settles it right there. God, I can always trust You. You know what we do a lot of times though? As believers, because we don't understand and we're trying to understand, and that's not our role, it's not our job, it's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to trust and obey and to follow. But a lot of times when we face these difficult situations and these hurts, we find ourselves, instead of trusting God in those situations, we end up blaming God. God, You could have stopped that if You had wanted to. God, why did You let me go through this? Why did You permit this? And before you know it, we've built a wall up, and now we've separated ourselves from the love and the fellowship of Almighty God. Somehow or another, our trust turned to blame. Oh, folks, we can't let that happen. We've always got to trust God. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what I'm facing, I'm always to trust not myself, not my finances, not my job, but the Lord God Almighty. And so here's the deal. Remember that phrase, with all your heart? Here's what that means. It means that I don't get to pick and choose just part of my heart. You know, I don't trust Him in this area and decide, you know what, I'm not going to trust Him in this area. I'm still going to keep this area under my control because I think I can do a better job. I think if I control this area, then I can make this turn out to my happiness. And this will turn out to my advantage. You can't pick and choose when you trust God with all your heart. God doesn't want a piece of your heart. He wants it all. So if you want to sum this up in one thought or one phrase, here it is. And you've probably picked this up already because I think I've repeated it a half a dozen times. Here it is. First thing, I can always trust God. Always. Always, always. There's not one situation, there's not one circumstance where He is not going to be faithful. All right? Look at the last half of that verse. Verse 5, we started out with trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the last part of that verse says, and lean not on your own understanding. There's the key part, your own understanding. Underline that. And this may be the hardest part of all. Because here's the situation. We feel like that we know better than God what's going to work in my life. We feel like I can make a better choice than God might make for my life. We feel like that I know what's going to make me happy, and that's going to drive me to make decisions that will produce that in my life. And folks, I want you to know, your own understanding comes from things that I've learned, things that I've experienced. They're the thoughts that I have. We make conclusions and deductions on what we think is right, or what seems best, or what feels like the right thing to do. All those things describe our own understanding. And God's telling us that those are things we've got to avoid. Now, that's our natural response. Our natural reaction is to rely on what I already know, what I've experienced, the thoughts that I have. But God says, until you get beyond yourself, until you put an end to those thoughts driving my direction, I'll never hear God speak to my heart. I'll never understand what God's telling me from His Word. I'll never receive, one of those times when I'm alone with Him in prayer, I'll never receive that direction and correction and instruction and guidance from the Lord because I totally revert back to my thoughts, my feelings, what I feel, what seems, rather than what God says. See, God never asked me to live on my emotions. God never instructs us to live by my feelings or my thoughts, or what I seem or feel. Folks, He asks us to live off of what He says. Here we are back again to our time alone with God. Can it get any plainer that until this becomes a priority in our life, and that's one of the very reasons that we're studying like we are this year, that you're following along every day in your daily readings, and I hope you're doing that. The reading plan is on our website. You go, you scroll down to this logo, and you can find the daily reading plan. I hope you're following along, and let that build in you a daily lifestyle of being alone with the Lord. Because until time alone with God becomes very consistent, very powerful, until I begin to hear Him speak to my heart each and every day, You know what? I'll never know what His will for my life is. I'll never be able to obey and follow Him. And I'll never live that life that's pleasing to Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just part of it. Don't lean on your thoughts, your experience, your knowledge, your wisdom, what you figure out. So here's what we're learning out of this last part of verse 5, where it says, lean not on your own understanding. I have to learn how to die to myself. I am my worst enemy. If I'm going to please God with all my life, then I'm going to have to learn to die to myself, to lean not on my own understanding. Let's look at the third part here. First part of verse 6 says this, in all your ways, underline that phrase, all your ways, we're directed to acknowledge Him. Boy, this means something very simple. To acknowledge God doesn't mean to admit that He exists. You're not saying, okay, there is a God, or I believe that there is a Creator. It's not acknowledging as in admitting truth, but acknowledging Him is declaring that He is my Lord. He is not only the Creator of the universe, He's not only the Creator of everything in our world and for all of us, for you and for me, but I have given Him authority over my life. I've given Him the ability to lead, to direct, to instruct, and my response is to follow and obey Him. Oh, it's declaring that He's the Lord of my life. I've given Him authority. I've given Him control. And I'm not just talking to adults. The students that are here this morning and that are listening along with you, this is real in their lives too. This is not just something they need to learn for the day that they get out of college and go into the work world, they get married, they have a family. This is to them right now. If they're believers, the Lordship of Christ is huge. See, a lot of people, most people, they want Jesus to be their Messiah. And a lot of people say, you know what? If it just involves a free ticket to heaven, sure, count me in. But when they understand that this whole concept of Messiah includes allowing Him to be the Lord of my life, allowing Him to run my life, to make the decisions for me in my life, to sit on the throne of my life and be in charge, that's where people back off. I'm all about the Messiah and the going to heaven. Yeah, well, I would like that. But when I understand that it's the Lordship thing as well, that's what backs people away. Here's the part. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways. Here's the thing that we fight most. And I'll be honest with you. For the guys that are listening this morning, this is more common in our lives than in the ladies, even though it applies to them as well. But there's a term in counseling that is used. Oh, it's a long term. Listen to this. Compartmentalization. And this is how so many guys, so many people, students as well, we live our lives. We think of our lives in little bitty compartments. Or if you want to imagine a file cabinet with different drawers in it. And each drawer or each compartment is a different area of our life. You know, maybe the top drawer involves on Sundays, my worship for Him. And the next drawer is my work or my school. The next drawer, my family. The next drawer is my pastimes. Every area of my life has its own compartment. And we try to live our lives, even as believers, separately as if these compartments don't interact with each other. We tend to believe that as long as I'm in church on Sunday and as long as God is pleased with what I offer Him on Sunday, that it really doesn't matter about my Monday through Saturday. It doesn't matter who I am at home. That doesn't affect my Sunday compartment. It doesn't matter where I go or who I'm with. It doesn't matter at work, my language or my attitude. Doesn't matter if I have other relationships. As long as my compartment for Sunday is good, then these other compartments are totally independent of that. And that's not in all your ways. In all my ways, there's no such thing as compartments or drawers. My walk with God is all one entity. And I'm to love Him, we learned, with all my heart, in all my ways. There shouldn't be a bit of difference in who I am and how I act and how I respond to God on Sunday morning than there is on Tuesday at work, than there is on Friday night when I'm out with my friends. It's in all my ways. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. So here's our third part that we need to make. Salvation involves lordship. It's not just a free ticket to heaven. Salvation, forgiveness, lordship is incorporated in that. If I don't have any desire for Jesus to control my life, to have the authority over my life, He's got a perfect plan for my life. And if I've got no desire to seek that plan or to follow that plan, then you know what? How can I say I want to go to heaven, but I don't want Him to have any part of my life? Those two things just don't equate. Salvation always involves lordship. And the last part of verse 6 is this: and He shall direct your paths. He shall direct. Underline that little phrase. See, it's God's will for my life and for your life. He's got a perfect will, a perfect path picked out. And because He's trustworthy, because I can always trust Him, He's got my best in mind. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not always the easiest choice or the easiest path to choose from. You know, a lot of times it's very difficult. A lot of times it's hard to believe that this is what God would choose for me. And it's not always the path that we might choose for ourselves if we were in control, if we were in charge, if we were making our own decisions. We would most likely miss God's will, probably 99 times out of 100, because His will isn't what we would automatically choose. But it's always the best. It's always the best because He's trustworthy. And I can always trust God. Oh, listen, here's my response. It's my responsibility to be willing and to be available. God, whatever You ask me to be, the answer's yes. Whatever You ask me to do, the answer's yes. Wherever You ask me to go, the answer's yes. I'm submitting to You. It's not my will, but Your will. Isn't that what Jesus prayed in the garden right before His arrest and the trial and the crucifixion? God, not what I want, not my will, but Your will be done. It's that constant day by day, sometimes hour by hour, minute by minute submission. Lord, I want to be everything that You want me to be. Now, let me give you a couple of cautions right here, because there's some very common mistakes that believers make when we talk about God's will. And I want you to make sure that you jot these down. You have to be very careful, because I hear a lot of people use this phrase, and, well, I had this open door for me. Talking about maybe it was an opportunity for a job. Here we are. This was graduation week in our community. So we had a lot of our high school seniors graduating. They're thinking about college. They're thinking about majors. They're thinking about, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? You know, because I was accepted to a college doesn't mean it's God's will for me to go there. Maybe even if I was offered a scholarship, just because that's an open door doesn't necessarily mean that's where God wants me to go. When I'm in the workforce, just because I have the opportunity for a different position or to move to a different town, doesn't necessarily mean that's what God wants me to do. I've got to take those before the Lord. Those are those things that I seek wisdom, that I seek guidance. It's my responsibility just to obey and not follow every open door that I'm presented with. Because God's not the only person that can open doors for us. Satan has the ability to do that, and we can be so easily misled by an open door. Let me give you a second mistake that a lot of believers make. A lot of believers, when God leads them in a certain direction and they begin to, times get hard, maybe they experience some obstacles along the way or some hardships, the first thought that we usually have is, ooh, well, it's obvious I miss God's will. And that's a mistake. You cannot always conclude that you've missed God's will simply because life has gotten tough or there's things that are in our way. You know what? God allows obstacles and hard times in our way a lot of times to build our strength, to build our character, to cause us to trust Him more, to see if we truly will obey Him in every step along the way. So don't always go for open doors. Don't always think when the going gets tough that you've missed God's will. You don't go by your feelings. You don't go by hardships. You always follow and obey God's will. Here's our last point, and it teaches us this. God's will is always best for our lives. Hey, you know what? This has totally been for believers this morning. None of this has really made much sense. It's pretty much been meaningless to you if you've never surrendered your life to Christ. If you've never made that initial surrender, understanding that I'm a sinner, understanding we were born separated from God, understanding that there's nothing that I can do to merit salvation. I can't be good enough for God to forgive me. I even can't read the Bible enough for God to forgive me or to go to church enough. It's not about earning salvation or earning forgiveness. Salvation comes when I say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm separated from You, and I'm asking You to forgive my sins. Thank You for loving me like You did. Thank You for leaving heaven and going to the cross and shedding Your blood and making my forgiveness available because of Your death and because of Your resurrection. And so if you've never made that surrender of your life, and you know it, because when we surrender, God begins a radical life change in our life. You know, things begin to change. He tells us that we're going to become a new creature. He's going to give us a new heart and a new life and new motives and values and goals, vocabulary, relationships. Everything's going to become new. And that's how you know that that surrender was real. You know what? If you've never surrendered your life, that's the first step, and that's your biggest need today. There's a lot of people that are listening today. Maybe you have made that surrender of your life. Maybe you're a believer, but maybe you've made a poor choice. Maybe you've made a bad decision. Maybe you feel like you've gotten so far away from what God wants for your life, you've kind of developed a hopelessness attitude. Folks, I want you to know, for a believer, there's no such thing as being hopeless because there's always a road back to God's will. And maybe you've missed it. Maybe you've made some poor choices. And you know what your need is today? God, I'm sorry. God, would You forgive me? God, would You bring me back? Would You show me what Your will for my life is? Because my desire is to please You. My desire is to get back and obey and follow You like You want me to. You know what? I would challenge you today to pray one of those two prayers. Have you given your life to Christ? Surrender your life to Him today. Have you gotten off track? Ask Him for His forgiveness and say, God, I want to be in the middle of Your will. Would You lead me back?